blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1 through 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own, to keep me near thy side. 1 through 5 of Psalter 203.
Thank you. scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews, the 7th chapter. Hebrews 7, first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, whom receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, that is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were made, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is all so unfathomable to us, and when we read it in thy holy word, but it is all thought out by thee from that never begun eternity. And it needs to be taught unto us, for we do not even see our need for a priest, for we do not even see what our sin is, for we are ever blamers of someone else. O Lord, that thou mayst show unto us our great need for a priesthood, for a sacrifice, that we also may be brought into favor with thee, for there is a great price that needs to be paid for sin, if it will be well with our soul, when we live and if we may die, if we may live when we die, if we may live an eternal life. O Lord, show unto us then that great debt that we have, show unto us what our iniquity is, and give us to own it, and give us to see that it is our own, and that we are the man, that thou may bring thy word with power, and the power of thy spirit in our hearts, that we may bow in the dust of self-abasement before thee, and that we may be given that place before thee of a sinner before God. That is the reality, and thou sayest it in thy word, but we do not believe it, and we have a religion, even as the Jews had their religion, but thou knowest what they made of it, and thou knowest what we make of it, because it is our fallen nature. Oh, that thou may take away from us everything that will not stand upon that great day of days, everything that is a false foundation, and that we may see that we have to stand before our judge, and that we cannot stand before thee, and that we have to die, and that we have to appear before thee, and that it may come home unto us. Lord, bind it upon the hearts of young and old together, that we might see also the great need for that payment, for that sacrifice, for what is pleasing to thee and what is sufficient to thee, that we may be delivered from all of our iniquities. And we can read it was by an oath that is so unfathomable unto us. For thou needest not to swear, for thy word is yea and amen in thyself, and thou didst swear by thyself, because thou canst swear by no greater than it cannot be for thy sake, than it must be for our sake, that we might see the blessed certainty of that sacrifice, of that oath, of that salvation for a poor, for a needy sinner, who is nothing but sin, who cannot bring forth any righteousness of his own, whose righteousnesses are as filthy rags. O Lord, that we may be brought up in such a way to thy house, and that there may be coming as a sinner before God, and that there may be a coming as one who is a dog, and that we may receive that salvation wherein thou dost receive the honor, for a grace that is as wide as the ocean. O bring us then, Lord, in that place of the prodigal, that our thoughts may go back again to our Maker and to our Creator, and that we may desire to rise up and to go back unto Thee who art our Father in the creation, and that Thou may be a Father unto us also in grace, and that we may desire to say unto Thee that we have sinned, that we have sinned against heaven, that we have sinned before Thee, that we are not worthy to be called a son, or that we might have the smallest place, the place of a doorkeeper, the place in Thy house of the lowest one, but that we only may still be included, Lord, that we may not be cast out for all our filthiness, or that Thou may remember young and old. We cannot give this to ourself, the hungering and the thirsting and the panting after life, but Thou dost give it unto Thy own children. Wilt Thou include each and every one of us, O Lord, that we might say even with Thy servant, whom have I in heaven but Thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee, that it may become the longing of our heart, because that is seeking Thee. And Thou sayest, those that seek Me, they shall find Me, that it may be bound upon young and old. Care Thou for our youth and our children, that Thou may bind it upon them when they are still young. For that is a special day, it is a special time, when we are young. But we are ever wasters of that day, and when our hearts are still tender, and Satan desires to make them hard, hardened in the way of sin and iniquity, that he does bring in the days of our youth, and with all of his devices known to thee, and known also unto us in such an unfortunate way. Lord, that Thou may forgive all of our sins, and that Thou may keep us also from sin, and give us to desire to walk in all righteousness according to Thy holy law and commandments. And wilt Thou remember our school, which has begun in the school in Calgary, that hopes to begin in this coming week. Lord, wilt Thou remember the young people who hope to begin in university and college also in this week. And when all the education in the midst of this world does begin again, that Thou may be on their right and on their left, and on the right and left of all of our teachers and instructors, and give them that fear of Thee, that they may be an example unto our children and our youth, and that there may be a drawing of the hearts to seek that portion that belongeth unto all Thy people. Care for all the afflicted, and remember him that hopes to receive surgery. Be Thou on his right and on his left hand. Bless it, O Lord, and bless him, and use and sanctify this way, and also the child that is in Calgary. Thou knowest all the circumstances there also, and wilt Thou make it well as Thou alone art able to do, and wilt Thou supply for all the needy, all the afflicted, many troubles, trials, afflictions, crosses of mind and of body, and care for each one in their circumstances. Remember all that suffer from addictions, and wilt thou show unto them the sin of it. Make them also guilty in thy sight, and wilt thou give what is necessary to be brought out of it. And when the prince of darkness does show his strength, O Lord, wilt thou show that thou art stronger than he, and that thou may deliver from this pit of corruption, that thou may remember all that rule and reign over us in the poor days wherein we do live, that thou would turn us again, O Lord, in all of our governments to thy word and to thy testimonies, that thou may be acknowledged once again in the world, even in a moral way, and wilt thou draw to thy blessed truth, wherein men may receive salvation from their sins. Wilt thou care for all those that labor on the mission fields? Wilt thou be on their right and on their left hand, and thy servants there, and those that labor with them, and all those that take their place as thy servants in the midst of this world? Wilt thou give thy kingdom to come, and thy word to prosper over the length and breadth of this whole world, that many may be brought in from the east and from the west, and that may sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and that we and our children may not be left behind, oh, to see it in that great day of days, and to have heard of it all our life long, and have to look on from the place of the left hand of thee, to see those that have been drawn in from the four quarters of the world, and we ourselves on the outside. O Lord, that thou wouldst bind it upon our heart, what it means to live in a day of grace, in a time of salvation. O, that we might see something of that great fire and that agony and that worm that never dieth. For thou dost save some by the fire. O Lord, wilt thou show unto us the truth of it, and that we might learn to flee for our life's sake, and not looking back, but that we may hunger and thirst and yearn for that salvation wherein thou receivest all the honor and the glory. Draw us, Lord, and we will run after thee. Wilt thou help us in this hour? Be thou on our right and on our left hand. Strengthen us for the labors of our hands. And wilt thou go from pew to pew and from heart to heart to touch us, Lord, to touch us by one of thy own holy fingers. Oh, it is so easy for thee, who art almighty, and thou hast shown thy power over death itself, coming forth from the grave. And we have heard it out of thy holy word, that thou hast an everlasting priesthood, all ever living, to make intercession for thy people. Oh, thou art alive then even in this day, and thou hearest us even in heaven, thy dwelling place. Oh, could it please thee also to deliver us, from sin, and to bring us unto that highest good. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our iniquity, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1 through 4. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be. In which no waters be. 164, all the stanzas. beloved congregation, Solomon wrote, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words. He sought to do that. That is, he said that was not just an easy thing to do. It was a difficult thing to do, to find acceptable words. Why? Because of the matter. The matter that the preacher had to bring forth. They were in the first place spiritual matters. And it is not easy to find the words to express spiritual matters. Do you find that too? If you will have to tell someone, desire to tell someone of the things that are living in your heart, then is it difficult for you to find words to do that? What are words for? Words are for communicating. It is by words that we tell one another what our thoughts are, what is living within our hearts. But there are some things that are very difficult for us to put into words. Boys and girls, if you look sometimes, then you can see a very beautiful sunrise or a very beautiful sunset. Did you ever try to tell mother or father what you have seen? And then you can try to say it and find words to explain it, but you will very soon find that all the words that you can use are too short. You can never express to mother and father that beauty and that you have seen in that sunset. The church also sees beautiful things. Do you believe that? They see beautiful things by faith. But now to rightly communicate them, how to say that to someone, just what was so beautiful about the things that you have seen. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he quotes Isaiah and he says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Thus it is actually more than just that it cannot be expressed in words. But it is even, he says, that eye hath not seen it, ear hath not heard it, yea, even more, that it has not even entered into the heart of man. Thus the Lord has reserved things for his people which are beyond the conception of a living human being here below. Such things are contained in our text. And your preacher has sought to find out acceptable words, to express them, but he could not find them because he has found that language is too short. And the more that we meditate, the more that we realize that they are things actually that eye hath not seen, that ear hath not heard, and that have not even entered into the heart of man. Shall we go home then, boys and girls? Because the preacher cannot find out acceptable words, we shall not. Because we still have to find acceptable words. Because the church is saved, we read by hearing. May the Lord put his words in our mouth, as he has promised to do. And may we be given to see a beautiful sight also in this afternoon hour. With the help of the Lord, Hebrews 7 is where we can find our text. Hebrews 7, just the last portion of the 19th verse. Hebrews 7, 19b, by the which we draw nigh unto God. So far the words of our text. What shall we call such a thing? To draw nigh unto God. Are there words for that? We cannot find them. And thus, we will call it the inexpressible blessing. Because we cannot find words for it. The inexpressible blessing. And what is that which we wish to try to express? That is, in the first place, what it is to draw nigh unto God. That is, in the first place, what it is. Second, how it is obtained. We read, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The inexpressible blessing. First, what it is. And second, how it is obtained. Thus, what it is. To draw nigh unto God. We say inexpressible. And yet, it is experienced by persons here below. And it is going to be experienced in a way for that church that is far above what they can conceive now. The Apostle Paul speaks here about a drawing nigh. What is that? Well, that means an approaching. Thus, a bringing near. Thus, he does not speak about something that is bold, something that is rash, but he speaks about approaching. Thus, we hear something about a certain caution. Why would there be such a caution? We read that also of Esther, when she would go in unto the king. Then she put on her royal apparel, and then she just went and she stood. Oh, she just stood there in that royal court over against the king's house. You don't read that she said anything. Thus we read about a certain carefulness on the side of Esther. And why would that be? Why do you think that she was so careful? Children. Well, you say because of the person that she is approaching. That is right. Because he is not just a common person. No, he is the king. He is a man that has received the highest office in that whole land. Thus she approaches someone who is of great power. She approaches someone of great majesty. She approaches someone that has a very great dignity. Who has more majesty? Who has more dignity? Who has more power than God himself? And how do we approach unto him? How do we draw near unto him? Do we do that then in a common way? Do we do that in the same way that we approach our neighbor in this world? Or is there an impression an impression of His majesty, impression of His greatness, when we are drawing nigh unto Him. Paul says, by the which we draw nigh unto God, unto God. And now there is more than majesty. There is more than a difference in dignity between us and God because of our fall. Because that difference, when the Lord made man, that difference in dignity and power that was there before. But after the fall, there has come a greater difference between God and man. There is now a greater difference in worthiness. There is now a greater difference in the condition of man and the condition of God. Do you ever feel that? And you fold your hands and close your eyes. Now we're going to ask God for something. We're going to ask whom for something. We're going to ask God for something. Something that we cannot give to ourselves. Some food, some drink, and provision for this life. Who are we going to ask? We're going to ask God. But have we even thought of Him? And is our back turned to Him? And is all our service for this world? And then we are going to fold our hands and close our eyes. And we're going to ask God for a blessing. You ever feel the contradiction? When you fold your hands and you close your eyes, that you say, I do not deserve to ask God for something because my life is not seeking after God. And why should God grant me a blessing? And when all my life is actually in the service of this world. Do you ever feel that? Your unworthiness. When you try to come before God. But there is more than that. It is not only unworthiness. But it is also our pollution. It is also our corruption. Do you ever feel that? When you fold your hands and when you close your eyes, you say, how is it possible that one who is as filthy hearted as I am, who would not dare to have what is living in my heart, to be exposed to all of my friends, of my neighbors of this world, and that such a person as I would dare to draw nigh unto Him, was that not the reason that that woman with the issue of blood, was that not the reason that she came with so much timidity, that she came behind in the press, desiring that no one would see her, desiring only to touch the hem of His garment, and afterwards she was going to flee away? Was that not because of the pollution, because she was a woman that was so unclean, and that all the law was against her to come into the presence and to touch one that was clean, by the which we draw nigh unto God? That is something, isn't it? We unto God. That is why we call it
an inexpressible blessing. Do you think so too? Or maybe we don't ever really think about God, young people. Maybe we go over this world with no thought of Him. Do you know where that puts us? Because David spoke of such people who are never thought. He says it is the wicked. The wicked, he says, think not upon God. Are you wicked? According to that word of God, there is a change when? There is a change when the Lord converts us. There is a change in regeneration. Do you know what we begin to do then? We begin to think upon God. We begin to think upon God. Then we begin to understand that we miss God. That we do not have God, even as we had God before. The animals all share in the fall. Those poor animals, they have pain. They have fear. There is death. That is not because of their sin. That is because of our sin. Those animals all share in the consequences of the fall of men. But they cannot miss God. And why can they not miss God? Because they do not have a soul. Thus the soul in mankind is what distinguishes him from those animals and what makes him capable of what the animals are not capable of. What is that? That is communion. Communion. And what is communion? That is to share. That is to share. When we commune with one another, we think of those men on the way to Emmaus. Then they shared their thoughts. And they shared their affections, their feelings. They shared them with one another. That is a wonderful thing, is it not? The ability that God has created you and I with, that we have not only a mind, that is already a wonderful thing, and a body with all of its systems, but that we are able to communicate with another person. That we are able to share an idea in my mind so that you may now have the same idea in your mind. Is that not a wonderful thing? We're still waiting, young people, for the evolutionists. We're still waiting for them to explain how that has evolved. What the origin of this great blessing is. Communication. Communion. Empathy for another person. Cannot share your thoughts, children, with a chair. Can you? You say, that is foolish. That is right. You would not try to do that. You would not talk to the chair, would you? You may try to do that with an animal, with your pet. But he cannot understand you. Neither can he share in your feelings. He cannot feel what you feel. but you can share with another human being. And when you share with him, then you have communion with him. Blessed, blessed thing. That the Lord has created mankind with. And then we see that man is created a social creature. Imagine life without the ability to communicate to one another. COVID has given to us a little experience what that is. Isolation. And then we have realized, we have experienced that we are social creatures. And that we cannot live in isolation from one another. Because man has mental needs. He's created that way. And he has social needs. Thus, such communion that is actually our happiness, naturally speaking, isn't it? When we can speak to one another. Because if we had all to do our work, but we could never meet one another and we could never share with one another, then you say, what would life be? Oh, they say that would be no life. And you take that ability to share and commune with one another away, and man falls into depression. Or they use sometimes solitary confinement to punish people. That is an awful punishment. A very severe punishment. To be confined all by yourself. To have no communication. To have no communion. And also very harmful for a person. By which we draw nigh unto God. Thus our text speaks about something higher than that very blessed thing that we may have with one another, to commune with one another. It speaks about communing with God, not God with God, not the Father with the Son and with the Spirit, but man with God. The very possibility of such a communion that is far higher than the possibility that man would commune with man. It is an inexpressible wonder that the Lord has created man not only able to commune with one another, but also with himself. Thus it was his desire to share. To share with his creature his thoughts, also his feelings, the affections of God, and that they would share with him their thoughts, and their affections, their feelings. God, desiring to empathize with man, so that God actually desires to feel or be affected, to be affected in his affections with man.
incomprehensible. Why? Because you say God is not affected by anything that is outside of himself. Oh, what a height. What a height of the creation of man. How like unto himself God has created man, a spiritual being. It is true. The fall was decreed by God. And yet we read in God's word about an arrow that has been sent into the heart of God, that is by the sin of man. When sin has multiplied on the earth, and that the Lord spoke about, as it were, his feelings. And that God said that it repented him, that he made man on the earth, and that it grieved him at his heart, as if he was affected by man. Did the Lord ever communicate those feelings of his own unto you, that you may, as it were, empathize, as you do with your neighbor, that you feel with him? May you ever feel with the Lord? For that arrow that we have shot into his heart to grieve him so? What is that? That is communion. The Lord shares his thoughts. The Lord shares his feelings with his people. He does that always through his word, by that communion. The Lord affects his people, even as he allows himself to be affected. He also affects his people. What is that? That is communion. Do you know a little bit of this communion? There is only a little bit of it that is known here below by the true church. And if we may know just a little bit of it, then it is experienced actually as heaven. Who can fathom that God would create man with such an ability? A congregation, who can fathom that man would have despised such a blessing? Despise such a blessing when we have forsaken that communion and that we have chosen instead to commune with the devil himself. Who can fathom that? Oh, the guilt that we have brought upon ourselves, but the misery, the awful, awful misery that communion broken so that we have made ourselves even like the beasts, as it were. And yet the Lord has restored it, not unto all men, but he has restored it unto his church, an inexpressible blessing. Say, how has he restored it? How may I receive that again? That we want to consider in our second thought after we sing 51, stanzas 2 and 3. The burden of the sorrowful, the Lord will not despise. He has not turned from those that mourn. He hearkens to their cries. His goodness makes me join the throng where saints his praise proclaim. And there will I fulfill my vows mid those who fear his name. 2 and 3 of 51. inexpressible blessing. First, what it is. Second, how it is obtained. What do we read? By the which we draw nigh unto God. By the which, thus he is referring to something else. He is referring to what comes before. What do we read? For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. It is a wonder that God has restored that communion again. It is another wonder that the Lord reveals what that way is. Thus, he leaves us without excuse. Because then there is only one reason that we have not obtained it. And what is that? It is because we have no desire for it. Do you believe that? That is our death. That is our spiritual death, from which we are unable to raise ourselves. Carnal creatures, sinful creatures, not seeking after God, but seeking after this world. Do we believe that? Or do we believe that we are different from that? Did you ever try to give yourself spirituality that this world would no longer draw us? Did you ever try to destroy that heart that was so carnal? And when you have tried to destroy all that carnality, what did you learn? Did you learn that that is your life, that that is your heart, that that is actually your sin? That is what we need to learn. That it is our sin, that it is our guilt, that we do not desire that communion with him, by the which we draw nigh unto God. By the which, by what? Paul says, by the bringing in of a better hope. If there is a better hope, then there must be a hope that was not as good. Thus, there must be two hopes. So what does the apostle speak about here? What is that first hope, that initial hope of which the second one is the better? Well, he speaks here about the law, and he speaks about the law making nothing perfect. What law is he speaking about? That is not the moral law per se. No, this is speaking about the ceremonial law. So he is speaking here to the Hebrews, the Jewish people, who are brought up under that ceremonial law. And what was that ceremonial law? It was the gospel. The gospel in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament is not law, the New Testament gospel. No, no. There was law and gospel in the Old Testament, the same as it is in the New Testament. So that ceremonial law was the gospel of the Old Testament. And by that ceremonial law, what did they have to do? They had to bring in sacrifices. That was the command of that law, that ceremonial law. And now, this law, the apostle says, made nothing perfect. What does that mean, perfect? That word means to be complete. It didn't complete anything. It didn't bring anything to perfection as it needed to be brought. And that is why we read that the blood of bulls and of goats cannot take away sin. He said it was only a picture, and it is pointing to something else. Actually, it is pointing to something better. The Jews had come to trust in their sacrifices. The Jews had come, just like we so often do, to build upon their religion, our coming to church, our praying, our confession, our baptism, and so on. That is that fallen human nature that is always looking to that broken covenant. Paul says this is not enough. This, he says, cannot save your soul. But he says the bringing in of a better hope did. Did what? Did make perfect. Did bring to completion. What did it bring to completion? What is necessary for a sinful man, a sinful woman, a sinful boy, a sinful girl to draw nigh unto God? That is what it has brought to perfection, thus to restore that broken communion. Does that make your heart burn? Anyone? Does that make your heart burn? Say, is that now the way that I may also draw nigh, and that I may be restored into that communion of God? Then we will say, what is that? What is now this better hope? That is what that whole chapter, Hebrews 7, is about. What is Paul speaking about? He is speaking about the priesthood. He speaks about a change in the priesthood. He speaks about a priest after the order, he says, of Melchizedek. Thus, he says, a living priest and a living priesthood. Thus, the Old Testament priests, he said, had to die. There was a succession. The one priest became old, the other priest had to take his place. There was always death. And now he speaks about something different. He speaks about Melchizedek. We do not know where he came from. We do not know what his end was. We only read something about his life, actually his offices. And we know nothing else. Thus, he was a likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ, in as it were, he had no beginning and he also had no end. So he's called, that he has an unchangeable or an eternal priesthood. And so Christ, he is a priest, we read, after the order of Melchizedek. And that is the better hope that the Apostle Paul is speaking about. And so he says there is of necessity made also a change in the law. Hebrews, you offer your sacrifices, but that sacrificial law, that is all finished now, that is all done away, and there is something new. There is a better hope for you that takes its place, by the which, he says, we draw near unto God. That is, by this priesthood, there is no man that can draw near unto God without a priest. Without a priest. Do we believe that? That we need a priest to draw near unto God? That we need a sacrifice in order to draw near unto God. And that is now that sacrifice that the apostle here is speaking about. A sacrifice, he says, that was acceptable. Acceptable unto God to take away all the iniquity, to take away all the sin, to take away all the pollution and everything that stands in the way of a sinful man to draw near unto God. Paul says that sacrifice makes perfect. It brings to completion. It perfectly satisfies what God says is necessary for that fallen sinner to draw near unto me. Perfectly satisfies. Nothing else is therefore required. He says it is brought to completion. Nothing needs any more to be added to this. What does Paul say? Paul says that that way is open. It is open. For whom is it open? That is not open for a righteous man. But it is open for a man who needs a sacrifice. Paul said it is open for the chiefest of the sinners to draw near unto God. That such a man, woman, boy, or girl does not need to stay away. No, not for one moment longer. The Lord has desired to have communion with His creature. And what has His creature done? His creature has made Himself unfit. His creature has made Himself unworthy. And now the Lord has taken it upon Himself to bring that unfit and unworthy creature once again back unto Himself. He made a way to restore it in His dear Son. And His Son has accomplished it fully. He says it is a perfect. It is a complete accomplishment. To try to add to this is to deny its perfection. To try to add to this is to deny that it is actually to complete something that the judge himself has already accepted and declared that he has accepted. Thus to bring our own merit is not only foolishness, it is also an insult. It is an offense unto God the Father, unto God the Son, and unto God the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus says, go and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what is now left for a poor sinner to accomplish. Nothing. There is nothing left. He cannot accomplish it. He doesn't have to either. Now he is welcome. Now he is welcome to draw nigh unto that holy and unto that righteous God, whom otherwise was unapproachable. Oh, then he is welcome to draw nigh with all his guilt, with all his corruption, with all his pollution, just the way that he is. And whosoever draws near on those grounds, only on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, draws near in the way that the Father has decreed, in the way that the Son has merited, and in the way that the Holy Spirit has revealed unto us, a way that is so pleasing to Him. To Him. By the which we draw near unto God. Who says that? It is the Apostle Paul. Formerly Saul of Tarsus. Is that not a wonder? Before a persecutor. Before injurious. With all his religion. And then the Lord brought him in his guilt. The Lord ever bring you in your guilt? Then you become as ignorant as Paul. With all his religion. And it is all gone. And he says, Lord, who art thou? Lord, who art thou? And the Lord showed him who he was. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. With all your religion, with everything that you think is right, did you ever come in the place? Were you ever brought in that place? Where the Lord brought that man? Oh, your heart, Paul, that is not right with God. But the Lord showed him more. Paul speaks about it. He says he revealed his Son in me. And he revealed to me his sacrifice. He revealed to me that blood that I've despised. And that blood has become so precious unto me. And it is now by that blood, that shed blood, that I may now draw nigh unto God. O congregation, are there a people who have a desire for this? Who have cut off that communion? And who cannot live in that isolation? Not from your fellow men, no. But that isolation, is that a burden to you? Is that a grief unto you? You were created in that communion. And that communion you have cut off by your own sin. Oh, can you not live without Him anymore? That way is made open. And all reason to stay away that has now been taken out of the way. Draw near then, O poor sinner, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, looking only unto that better hope, and receive for your soul this inexpressible blessing, His communion and His favor by His Son, without money and without price. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot express it. Our words are too short. But could it please thee to express it in the heart of young and old, to give a desire for that communion, that we may lay all our needs before thee. And that thou would say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. O Lord, bring us home with meditating hearts. Bring us to our inner chamber. Give us thoughts of thee. Give us desires for thee. Draw us to seek thee. And will thou give us to find thee, and that we may each of us be given to see what cannot be expressed with words, the blessed beauty that is in thee and in thy dear and only begotten Son. Then we shall glorify thee, world without end. Forgive all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 204, 1-4. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer, all was made plain. 1-4 of 204.
blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.